When I'm looking for high-quality furniture that doesn't break the bank, I don't have to settle for subpar styles because I can find everything I need at Bob's Discount Furniture. At Bob's, I can score everyday low prices on pieces that real customers love, like Consumer Reports recommended mattresses, real marble dining sets, and the best-selling modular Bob's sectional, which has over 1,700 five-star reviews. So stock up on five-star style and visit Bob's, where America shops for furniture.
You know that thing where you get an amazing pair of shoes at a really great price and want to tell everyone about it? Yeah, so do we. Here at Designer Shoe Warehouse, we'll give you something to brag about. Like the latest styles from brands you love, or the trends everyone's obsessing over, or shoes that make you feel like, well, you. So go ahead, show off a little. Find shoes that get you at prices that get your budget. Head to your DSW store or DSW.com today. DSW. Let us surprise you.
Nerds! Today's episode is sponsored by NerdWallet's Smart Money Podcast. Ever Google a money question and end up 12 tabs deep with 12 different answers? This podcast is your shortcut back to clarity. NerdWallet's Smart Money Podcast breaks down financial decisions with a team of trusted journalists. They explain the why behind decisions like investing, home buying, and choosing credit cards with clear, research-backed insights. No jargon, no misinformation. Make your next financial move with confidence. Follow NerdWallet's Smart Money Podcast on your favorite podcast app.
Thanks for being a part of the show every week. You know where I'm coming from? I'm coming from Atlanta. 680 The Fan, our studios here. But I'm coming to you live from the Rocket Mortgage by Quicken Loans Studios. They found a better way to mortgage so you can focus on making your new house a home. It's Rocket Mortgage. Push button, get mortgage. They're great folks at Rocket Mortgage, and we appreciate them being a part of what we've got going on here on the John Kincaid Show on CBS Sports Radio. Bobby says, for many years, I wondered how stupid people were who couldn't tell that was Bruce Wayne and Dick Grayson behind those masks on the Batman show. But today, I would like to apologize to all those folks that I knew pre-COVID who I now fail to recognize in public because of the mask. Bobby Raider, you're smart, man. It's the truth, too. Absolutely. Out in Tennessee. Good job, Bobby. That made me laugh this morning. WXSM. That made me laugh. Very funny. I always wondered about that. Now, I'm surprised Bobby brings that up. The Bruce Wayne and Dick Grayson. And that nobody understood there was Batman and Robin. I mean, I didn't even. Robin? Seriously, you couldn't tell that was Robin? It's a piece of cloth on his face. You couldn't tell that was, and then this young kid, this high school kid, is hanging out with a grown man, and they're both wearing tights. So that would, in today's day and age, you'd be like, okay, something's not right here. Something's not right about this situation. And then you couldn't tell, like, wait a minute. Never, I've never understood that either. But worse than that, Superman. Of all the stupid concepts. So, Clark Kent, you couldn't tell that was Superman? Lois Lane couldn't tell that was Superman? Lois Lane couldn't tell the person she worked with every single day was Superman. He wore glasses. That's the only difference. He was running around in his underwear as Superman, but he was wearing glasses. Same stature, same hair. He just took off a pair of glasses. Like glasses or a disguise. Never understood it. These masks, though, it does really change things. What I found is I have to repeat everything 3 and 4 times. You're placing an order. What? What'd you say? What? What did you want? Unsweet iced tea with extra lemon. That is my Dunkin' Donuts go-to. Kevin Wall, do you have a Dunkin' Donuts go to order?
No,
for your, you know, so you're not a coffee drinker or a tea
coffee.
Drinker.
Don't put it near me. I won't.
I've never touched it. I've never had a cup of coffee in my life.
I'm with you. I mean, I had one, and then I thought it tasted disgusting.
See, now my wife, being of Latin descent, she has she drinks the coffee with 5 creams.
Oh my god.
Oh my gosh.
That's ridiculous.
It's like she's got milk. It's like a glass of milk.
And then you got to put the sugar and the Splenda.
No. She doesn't do any sugar.
No, but people do that.
Oh, gosh.
You know what's the one thing that really annoys me?
What's that?
When, you know, you're on the highway or like and you see like a Starbucks and a Dunkin', and it's like a 30-minute wait. People are really that desperate to get their coffee fix. You're willing to wait 30 minutes to wait online for your
tall
grande frappuccino or whatever.
Well, that's the whole thing. That's the one thing
that irks me. And
you see, I just won't. And no offense to Starbucks, who they're great, great people. But unless I am absolutely at gunpoint that I need some caffeine, I am never paying. I'm not paying $4 for an iced tea.
No.
When I can pay $1.89 or $1.79.
Or just go up at Dunkin' and get, like, you know, me, I'm an energy drink guy.
So, oh, are
like,
you really?
Oh, yeah. I should be a sponsor for Bang
Energy. You better hope that Dr. Roth is not listening, my doctor. Hope he's not listening.
Well, we'll find out if he calls
in. They are not good for you.
I mean, I drink the Monsters, and then I've tried the Bang Energy drinks, but that's like liquid cocaine. It's like 300 milligrams.
That's what I've heard. I've heard they're terrible.
They taste good. I only drink those when, like, I'm doing, like, an overnight shift or, couldn't sleep. Like, I only got maybe, like, 3 hours.
So, wait a minute. You're working, like, an Amy Lawrence shift, and you're doing a Bang Energy?
Yeah.
I
got to be back here at 3 a.m. tomorrow.
Come on. Amy is, like,
I'm not doing Amy's show tomorrow.
No, but Amy, though, would be, like, she doesn't even need the Bang Energy drink.
No, because
she's knocking off the walls.
Yeah.
She doesn't drink them, does she?
I mean, I see her with coffee or tea.
Coffee or tea, yeah.
Yeah, I should be the sponsor for Bang Energy because I'm the only one that that has
You might
them.
Be. You might listen, be when this gets done.
I only drink them when I need to. Like, I got it. I have a whole different schedule. Like,
right.
I produced you today. I produced right. Robin and Ken yesterday. I got to be back here at 3 a.m. I'm not going to be sleeping for the next couple
there
of days.
You go.
So, you know what? If it's as long as I get to work on time and do the deed, then...
All right, behind the curtain to the listeners.
Mm-hmm.
So yesterday you had to Robin Lundberg, and then Ken Carmen, and then me.
Yeah.
Okay, lowest maintenance host to deal with of that trifecta.
I plead the fifth.
Lowest maintenance. Come on.
Now,
lowest
you
maintenance.
You guys are all good now. No.
We can all be good hosts. Lowest maintenance. Who do you have to worry about the least? Who do you have to...
Robin, I mean, I would say.
Robin? Really? You have to worry about him the least?
Oh, yeah, I mean, I don't Lundberg? Worry about anyone.
But I mean, you have to worry about Lundberg the least? I can't be any more turnkey, right?
No, but...
The computer turns it on. The computer turns us on. We talk 900 miles apart. Got everything under control. See, it works.
It works, but... No, it's good and easy to work with you guys, though. No,
well, that's good. That's good.
It's never hard.
That's good people. Good people, all good people. We got a lot of good folks here at CBS Sports Radio. Where do I go? Do I go to? I'm trying to make sure the callers that are okay. Do I all callers off so I can go on? Okay. If you want to get in with us, you can at 855-212-4CBS. 855-212-4CBS. Our toll free line brought to you by our friends at Geico. Great news. Quick way you can save money. Make the switch to Geico. Go to geico.com, and in 15 minutes, you can save 15% or more on your car insurance. That is something that everybody should be thinking about doing. The Knicks really stick to their script, don't they? They try to reinvent the wheel. Something that doesn't need to be reinvented. Something that, you know, really just it already exists. It's not hard to be able to figure out the format for building a strong organization. The New York Knicks have never figured it out. They've never copied the program. They've never learned or to hire the right people. They just constantly make wrong moves. Tom Thibodeau, coming in as the coach of the Knicks. Just a quick word. It's more of the same old, same old. So they never think out of the box. What did the Boston Celtics do? What did Danny Ainge do? Danny Ainge, who is a out-of-the-box thinker, manages to make moves and create championship-type clubs with old guys. And then he manages to maneuver his roster and not having to go through a desperate rebuild to be able to create a whole new roster that had a chance to compete for NBA championships, to be relevant, to be really, really good, while totally changing the identity of the franchise. Completely different style of play, age of players, things like that. Danny Ainge doing those out-of-the-box moves. And one of them being Brad Stevens. Now, I do not think Brad Stevens is Phil Jackson. But I do know that Brad Stevens is better than most. Better than most. And for you to be able to go out there and hire a Brad Stevens, who, by the way, was not on anyone's radar to be an NBA coach. There was nobody talking about it. There was nobody talking about it. Nobody was talking about Brad Stevens leaving Butler, to come and join an NBA team. There was no discussion of that. And it's an out-of-the-box move that pays off. So what did the Knicks do? Tom Thibodeau. How many times do you go to the same well, NBA? How many times do you go to that same... First of all, a young team? A bunch of young guys? Tom Thibodeau doesn't fit to me. It does. It's not a hire that fits. It doesn't make a lot of sense to me. But that's what the Knicks do. Well, this guy had mild success somewhere else. Let's see if we can bring him in here and maybe he'll have mild success here. Because, hey, mild success with the Knicks? They would close New York public schools in celebration if New York public schools were open. They would actually celebrate that. Just dumb. Just the Knicks continue to nick. That's what they do. They continue to nick over and over again. We got some great reaction this morning to the WNBA story. Just that look, sports and politics has been a big part of the discussion today, and we'll get some of those calls after the bottom of the hour on the topic. But there's been a lot of discussion on sports and politics and where they intersect and where they don't. Where they should and where they shouldn't intersect. It appears that the majority of the feedback we've received is that people don't want politics and activism during their sporting event. If you're like me, I thought the other night that the Dodger Giants game, and I was watching that in Vegas, I thought that ceremony before the game was moving. And I thought it was cool. I don't want the constant, I don't want the intro into the game. As long as it is not into the game itself, social activism, politics, or any of the sort, as long as it not is a part of the game, I'm fine with it. I thought that the NBA uniforms, I got to tell you, that the messages in the back of the NBA jerseys was going to be potentially a problem. I didn't know how it would be policed. I don't like the fact that the NBA is so cowardly that they won't let you buy a jersey and put Free Hong Kong on it because that doesn't fit their business model. So social activism and human rights ends at the U.S. border. Well, North American borders, because there are teams in Toronto. So for the NBA, just the human rights and social activism ends at where the dollars are made. So be damned, the social rights of people in Hong Kong. In China. Just ignore those. Those aren't important. They stop at the U.S. border or the North American borders. But it seems overwhelming today that people are quite, look, okay with messages, okay with athletes with their forums, but we're tuning into baseball games, football games, basketball games, and otherwise to have it be about the sport. Have it be about the sport. And the more that the sports come back, hopefully we get into a little less during the games. Less activism, more athletics. NFL training camps are opening. I told you last Sunday there was going to be no delay. There was going to be no problem with this. But did the players get what they want and did the owners get what they want? Who won the little negotiation war? Elliot Shore Parks joins us from WIP. Coming up, it's the John Kincaid Show. This is CBS Sports Radio.
This is the John Kincaid Show.
Follow along at John Kincaid. And follow our next guest, Elliot Shore Parks. It's a very long name. It's a very, but once you follow him, there's not many people, Elliot Shore Parks. Follow him. I do. And he's the Eagles reporter for 94 WIP, the place where I did my first on-air shift ever. It launched this great ship that is John Kincaid's career, which has hit many an iceberg. How are you, ESP, this morning? How are you, buddy?
Doing good. I'm doing good. Thanks for having me on.
I'm very disappointed that I am not going to see you at your birthday for my daughter's, my dad-daughter trip that we do every year, because it doesn't look like fans in the stands for me to be able to come up for an Eagles game this year, and looks like it's a bit of a mess, and it's something that I look forward to. And this year, Eagles Cowboys day after your birthday, right?
Yeah, and you know, last year you came up for the pregame show, you had the crowd going, so it's certainly a disappointment. I will say, you know, Eagles games, much like games around the league, it's always way more exciting before the game. You have the fans out there, fans in the stands. Unfortunately, it doesn't look like that's going to be the case, but at least it looks like we're going to have football.
Why is it, though, that the NFL, it does not have a little more of a hammer that, like in Atlanta, they're going to have 15 to 20,000 fans. You're going to have other places where they're going to have fans in the stands. I would have thought the NFL owners would have a little more clout.
Yeah, look, I think just because they're having fans in the stands in Atlanta doesn't mean that's the right decision, and that's what everyone around the league wants to do.
No,
I know
I get
the
you.
Eagles are, yeah, the Eagles are preparing. They sent out an email this week to their season ticket holders saying that they are preparing for potential outcomes where you would have fans in the stands. I think it's going to be a state-by-state thing. The good news for Eagles fans is it seems like Pennsylvania is handling this better, you know, than some other places. So I wouldn't shut the door on fans being there in Philadelphia, but it just isn't looking good.
It's going to be a little different. All right, so training camp begins this week. You're a guy who is usually immersed in being on the sidelines and being there and bringing everybody all the details. How do you go about doing that job, and how do your peers around the NFL do it with training camps opening up this week? Is there going to be any contact, or is it all going to be Zoom? Are you going to be able to get your eyeballs on anything, or is it all closed?
So it's definitely going to be very different. I've tracked every Carson Wentz throw at practice since he was drafted. So I'm big on training camp. I love it. It's my favorite time of the year. The good news is, even though it's going to be different, I do believe that reporters are going to end up getting a fair amount of access. I mean, the players are going to report, at least the last day they can report, is on Tuesday. They're going to have about a two-week ramp-up period where it'll be mostly just strength and conditioning, lifting, that type of thing. And you'll probably see the first padded practice on August 17th. Now, I would guess that there's going to be 14 or so practices that reporters will get to be at this season. And you'll be able to watch practice, certainly, you know, report on what's happening. There'll still be that going around the league. What's going to be different, though, is I would be surprised if any reporter was face-to-face with a player all year. Almost all interviews are going to be over Zoom. I don't think I'll even see Doug face-to-face this year. There's a small chance of that. But, yeah, so it's going to certainly be very different. But the good news is, you know, a month ago there was talks and maybe only one reporter practiced every day. It does look like there's going to be a fair amount of media there to report.
It does. I can tell you, talking to two Major League Baseball players via text this week, they're loving not having to do daily media in person, walking out of the locker room in a towel and having to answer questions if they're standing there in their underwear dripping in a towel. I wonder if this is going to be something going forward that players are going to push for. You know, get the media out of our locker rooms. Get the media, let's do this. We can do this another way.
It's possible. Look, I mean, if you look at how the NFL draft went with everyone doing it from home, you know, teams talked afterwards about how they might implement some of the way they did that in the next year's draft. Now, I don't think you're going to see everybody at home again, but with the league being forced to do so many things differently this year, there will be things that are picked up. Now, obviously, selfishly, I hope that the media out of the locker room is not one of them. I think it's important to get to know these guys on a, you know, day-to-day basis. That's how you get better stories. That's how you better understand what's going on. But you're absolutely right. I mean, the players don't like media being in the locker room. That's their space. It's where they're getting changed. I mean, after the game, it's where they're kind of cooling down. And, you know, sometimes they say things in the heat of the moment that they might not say if they were doing it an hour later on Zoom. So for the players, it's a good thing. For the media, not so much. But it's, yeah, I really do hope that it does not become an every year thing.
Elliot Shore Parks from WIP in Philadelphia joining us here. John Kincaid Show, CBS Sports Radio. So A lot of talk has been made about with the training camp changes, with no preseason games. How much of an advantage is it to existing coaching staffs, to long-tenured coaching staffs? You cover one in Philly. Do you see it as a huge advantage because these guys are more entrenched than the new coaches? Like, you got three new coaches in the NFC East trying to get their teams together without playing preseason games.
I think it's a huge advantage in two ways. The obvious way is the football part of it, right? I mean, Mike McCarthy in New York, McCarthy in Dallas, Joe Judge in New York, you know, they're implementing new systems, Ron Rivera in Washington. So there's that difficulty. They didn't have that off-season aspect part of it. So Doug in Philadelphia clearly has a big advantage. He's been there for 4 years. Him and Carson have worked together. He's going to run the same offense. So I think there's that advantage. But the other part of it that I don't think gets talked about enough that I think is a huge, huge advantage is if you're Doug, you already have a relationship with all your players. This is going to be one of the weirdest seasons in the history of the league, both with the COVID stuff and then also all the social justice issues going on. So if you're Mike McCarthy, Joe Judge, Ron Rivera, not only do you have to implement a new system, you have to get to know these guys in a situation that's going to be very different and, frankly, a situation that's going to require a lot of trust. I mean, the players in Philadelphia trust Doug, and they feel that he's doing what's best for them. If you're a player in one of these new on a team with a new head coach, you don't have that trust yet. So I think there's two aspects where the Eagles will have a big advantage of getting through this season.
I saw where you were commenting on the Jamal Adams trade, so I wanted you to be able to share that thought. It very, very much dovetails with what my opinion was of it. I can't believe what they paid and how they got that price, how Joe Douglas got that price out of Seattle when everybody knew he had to be moved.
Well, it's interesting because a year ago, Jalen Ramsey, everyone knew he had to be moved. Everyone knew he wanted out, and the Jaguars still got a pretty good return for him. It shows that it really only takes one or two teams to create a bidding war. Jamal Adams is a fantastic player. He's young. He can be a cornerstone. He fits in Seattle. Like, I do like them acquiring Jamal Adams. But two first-round picks for any player that's a safety is pretty outrageous. It just doesn't – they don't impact the game the way two first-round picks can. Plus, I think they gave up a fourth and maybe even another pick. So it was just a huge overpay. You then have to pay him a new deal in a world where the salary cap is going to take a dramatic drop, and you're already paying Russell Wilson. Now you're going to be paying franchise-type money to a safety. So he's going to have to be a huge impact for this to be worth it. And as good as Jamal Adams is, and he might be the best safety in the league, if not, you know, at worst, top five, I don't think he can be good enough to kind of bring back what they put into him.
Before I get you out of here, because I know you got to go, is the Eagles' salary cap situation amongst other teams, now that they know going forward what the impact is going to be next year in 2021, how desperate is it for them, and do you think there's some other teams in a similar boat?
There aren't many teams in the same boat as the Eagles. I mean, the Eagles are, if it does come in next year at $175 million, the Eagles are $70 million over the salary cap. And the tough part is they only have eight players on the roster where if they were to cut them, they save over $1 million. So there aren't real obvious moves. They can get rid of a few of the veteran wide receivers, but they need the young receivers to step up to do that. You can redo Carson Wentz's deal, but you need him to stay healthy to feel confident extending him beyond a few next year. So I do think that the Eagles will find a way. I mean, Howie Roseman and Jake Rosenberg are some of the best salary cap people in the league, but I've been covering the team for 8 years. I've been following my whole life. I don't remember a time the Philadelphia Eagles were in this type of financial trouble. So with the COVID revenue loss is going to impact the Eagles probably more than it will any other team in the league.
I'm going to just have to find ways to harass you on Twitter if I don't get to see him personally.
My favorite thing when I get the John Kincaid notification. So I look forward to it.
Thank you, Elliot Shore Parks. Appreciate your time, buddy.
No problem. Talk to you soon.
Gotta love it. Temple made, much like myself, at Temple University Al. Elliot Shore Parks. Follow him on Twitter. Just type in the name. Get it, because it's very, very difficult to find. A lot of letters there. That NFL salary cap situation for 2021 is going to be incredibly intriguing, because it is going to require teams to get very, very creative. The teams who have creative front offices with the cap are the ones in a best situation to be able to handle said situation. There's going to be a lot of big decisions got to be made. Financially, there are going to be teams that are going to be up against it. And as you heard Elliot say there, the Eagles are one of them that is going to have to make some real, real decisions on being able to figure out how they're going to maneuver through this time. It's going to be it is going to be very, very interesting to watch, and a story that we will be following here on the John Kincaid Show. So last night, we go to dinner after church, and we go to a chain restaurant after church, and the Lakers are playing Orlando, I believe, in the bubble, and there were guys in the restaurant. So probably like our table, and then there's social distance. So there was every other booth was open, and every other table was open on the floor. So they're spaced out. Every guy is trying to act like they're paying attention to their wives at dinner. And I may or may not have joined in that prospect. I may have missed out a little on the conversation. And glancing at the TV, watching Bron and the Lakers in a game being played, an exhibition game being played in the bubble. And it was glorious. It was glorious. In fact, we had a gentleman there with a very, we met them on the way into the restaurant, social distancing, of course. We met them on the way into the restaurant, and a guy coming in, very attractive wife with him. And he's got his, the Black Mamba mask. He's got the Kobe Bryant tribute mask on. I mean, this is all in. And then the Kobe t-shirt, too. So he's got a Kobe Lakers t-shirt. He's got the Black Mamba mask. And all during dinner, my daughter goes, "Dad, that man turns his head every 2 seconds to watch the TV. He couldn't get enough." And it was glorious. Because then my wife goes, "It's not just him, honey," she says to my daughter. "It's not just him. It's every guy in this place, including your father. They keep looking at the screens. We haven't had sports in months. We've got sports now." First thing I did, I'm getting out of church yesterday. First thing I'm doing, I want to know, how did the Braves game end? What did the Phillies do? What's going on here? I'm putting on my own radio station, getting out of church, waiting to hear, okay, well, how did that Braves game end? And I'm like, wait, what's the Philly score? Oh, yes, Realmuto just hit a 3-run homer. It's glorious. And I will give you the unadulterated facts that the best investment I make any year in sports, I love the NFL Sunday ticket. That's a great expenditure. So if you're talking about money well spent, the NFL Sunday ticket to me is absolutely glorious. There is nothing I wouldn't do without to get it. But the Major League At-Bat app, free commercial. The At-Bat app from Major League Baseball. And by the way, if you're a T-Mobile customer, you get it. You get the MLB TV for free with it. The MLB At-Bat app is awesome. Absolute awesomeness. It's awesome. Fantastic. Best app in sports, period. Love it, period. I can listen and I can see that a game is really, really tight, late innings. I can go and listen in on the radio broadcast or go watch it live on my phone. What am I, George Jetson? It's awesome. So 855-212-4CBS. 855-212-4CBS if you want to get in with us.
This is the John Kincaid Show.
Yeah, follow along, would you? Love it when you're aboard the John Kincaid Show on CBS Sports Radio. I had a fine listener, and I want to make sure that I say hello to Derek. Derek from Las Vegas, who wanted to say hello. And so he saw that I was watching the game in the sports book at Bellagio the other night. He drove over to Bellagio, parked, came into the sports book, and found me. And he said, I wanted to meet you. And so Derek says hello. Then he's like, just, we talk for like 2 minutes, and then he's just walking, gonna walk away. He goes, okay, I'll see you later. I said, aren't you watching the game? And he goes, Yeah. I said, you just drove over here. I said, aren't you going to watch the game? And Derek sat for like a couple innings and watched the game. He had to get up early the next day. But he sat there and watched the game, social distance, a chair away, but watched the game. And I was like, why don't you sit here and watch the game a little bit? He came over. So, Derek, thank you very much for coming on by and seeing me the other night. That was fun. 855-212-4CBS. Mitch from New Jersey joins us. Mitch, where are you from in Jersey? South Jersey, North Jersey, Central Jersey?
I would say Central.
Central. So you're near Rutgers?
East of West Windsor.
Oh, okay. So you're near Rutgers?
I'm closer to Princeton.
You're closer to Princeton.
I'm
all right, good.
I'm 9 miles. I love going to the football games. Guys are a little taller than me playing running back, but they're not there because they're very few make it to the pros, and I don't follow them. But it's just great. It's entertaining.
That is good.
No way. I mean, I hope there is a college football season.
I hope there is, too.
Hope I'm not going to sit there in January because it's a reasonable ticket.
Is that a dog? Was that a dog that just barked trying to get on the show?
Yeah, that's
What's the dog's name? What's the dog's name? Cody.
Yeah, my daughter gave the name.
Oh.
My next one will be a front rescue, but we got him from a puppy barn.
Okay, what is it? Cody is what kind of dog?
He's a King Charles American Eskimo poodle. He's a mutt.
Oh, man. Okay, that's good. That's good. All right, I'm a mutt, too, so that works well.
Me too. Jewish, Russian, Colombian face. So,
there you go.
But you live in the dream, and I'm just trying to hang on. That's more good than bad. I just hope things get better, and I'm so glad that we have sports.
Isn't it great having it back? Isn't it great?
It is. To look at the box scores, to check out the TV at times, I like the channel surf. But
awesome.
It was a bad loss yesterday. Clayton Kershaw is already, that just shows you how unbelievable that Phil Negro and Nolan Ryan pitch into that mid-40s and good at it, too. He's 32. He's already got a back injury now. I mean, stiff back, but I just start thinking things are going to get worse. And now they're going to be letting more teams in the league. It's not a round robin.
I got to tell you, Mitch, I've known Phil Negro for a long time, and great guy. And Phil always said he thinks guys today spend too much time in the gym, that they don't work on flexibility and stretching, that they spend too much time trying to be buff for the beach.
He thinks
that's where a lot of these injuries come from.
But they have more free time. They don't have to work in the off season.
Oh, I get you. Like, I'm just saying is that I think a lot of these guys would rather be, and appreciate your call, a lot of these guys would rather look great in their underwear than maybe do what's best. Flexibility, yoga, stretching, as long as they're eating right and using their own body weight. I hear that all the time, is using your own body weight is better than using free weights. Using your own body weight for athletes and working on flexibility and stretching and everything, and using your own body weight to exercise is better than being in the gym and trying to throw around slabs of metal, unless you're a defensive lineman, offensive lineman, something like that. But for baseball players, seriously. Joe from Cleveland joins us. Joe, what are you doing this morning, Joe?
Hey, good morning, guys. Hey, real quick, I'm 39 years old, and I look great in my underwear.
See, Joe, wait a minute. I got to ask, though. I got to ask, not a too personal question. Do you spend on expensive underwear?
No.
Okay, so you just regular off-the-rack underwear is fine with you?
Hanes. didn't Michael Jordan market Hanes?
Yeah, he did. Yeah, back in the day, Jordan walked around in his Hanes.
There it is.
Yeah, wait till we get our, wait till we get our Hanes on you?
I appreciate you taking my call.
Yeah.
I'm a Kansas Jayhawk amongst a lot of things, so rock chalk, and it was really difficult this season to see Bill Self and the Jayhawks cruise under the clouds of sanctions and pull together a number one seed team and then have what happened with COVID. And I think the best thing the NCAA did was cancel the season. Okay, so baseball's back, and I think it's going to work. 60 games. I do like the DH because it gets Yoenis Cespedes back in the game. He hit a home run. I think baseball's going to work. They'll have a playoff. It'll be great. Go to the offseason. Football seems relatively unaffected, but here's my question. As basketball goes into this bubble, the NBA, I'm curious how this is going to work out because you have this, I think it's not even all the teams in the league. They're going to play for a few months, and then what happens at Halloween? when they're supposed to start their 82-game season.
Well, they're going to go
season.
To from what I've been told, and I co-host a podcast with Shaquille O'Neal, so I hear a lot of NBA stuff. And from some people around the NBA, they're talking about like a December 1st to December 8th start to the season for next year. It's going to be a quick turnaround. Players know it. But they want to make full money next year. And the NBA has for a long time wanted to push back the start of their year. So they're going to push it back reportedly like 5 weeks. So that's the number. They'll push their start back like 5 weeks, and that will push their season into July. So the NBA Finals will end probably towards right around this time next year. We'll probably be seeing the end of the NBA Finals next year. God willing, everything goes well. That'll be awesome, because the NBA Conference Finals and Finals in July, I'm all for it. I don't know about you, but I'm all for it.
Well, thanks for answering
all right, brother.
That question.
Take care of yourself, man. Bye. See ya. Appreciate that very much. Very cordial caller there. Kevin, that was like the most cordial caller, like well-mannered.
Oh, for sure.
Especially I mean, well, with, do you tell people
this morning?
Do you tell people when you're going to talk to, when you're going to address Mr. Kincaid, be very cordial? Like be
seems like a nice guy to have a beer with, I'm sure.
Yeah, it did. Sound like a really nice guy. I always love the fact that we get the guys that are up way early in the morning calling this show. Like that, or the guys that are either getting in late. When we get the California callers, the Arizona callers, we had an Alaska caller earlier today. I always love that one, like the middle of the night Alaska caller that finds the John Kincaid show. That is, you people are awesome. You absolutely are fantastic, and it certainly adds to the fun. Adds to the fun of the show.
Hey, I'm jealous of them. Was it like 3-4 o'clock in the morning there at that time? And it's sunny out, or it's like there's
well,
sun. It's not pitch
crazy.
Black dark.
Yeah, but it's very crazy. You know, I used to host a lot of shows with Mark Schlereth back at ESPN Radio, and Mark would talk to us about how crazy it was that you'd have to have this special lighting if you had money. You could have this special lighting put in your house that would make you think that it was daylight. Have you ever heard of this? Like it would be.
No,
it would
feel
be,
like I should though, because my grandfather actually lived in Alaska. He worked
really?
There for. Yeah, he left for work and you know came back a year later. You know, visited every 6 months.
Or well, like, it was like. So wait a minute, was your grandmother there with him?
No, she had my mom and you know my uncles and aunts. So she.
So
home
he
for
was
a year.
He was in Alaska for a year and just like.
Yeah.
Like, oh my gosh. Yeah. See, I can't imagine. I cannot imagine not seeing my wife or my daughter or whatever for
a year. He tried convincing them all to move down, but my grandmother wouldn't.
Yeah, she wouldn't go do that. She's too smart for that.
Hey, I wouldn't be here talking to you right now. I'll probably be in Alaska.
That is the truth. It could be a much different way. We could be doing like a Back to the Future thing here. You know,
very possible.
You may never have been born if that had happened. My mom's still alive, and again, she is on. My mom's 91; she'll be 91 on September 1st, and she says she's planning on being here for 91. But I can't see her because of the 2-week quarantine rule in the state of Pennsylvania. So, Kevin, I'm going to ask you for a little advice here.
Yeah.
My mom has begun her jailbreak.
Mm-hmm.
She has said flat out, I am not doing this shelter in place anymore. I'm 91 years old. I've lived my life. I am getting out. So she has gone to the store. She has gone out to eat. She has been taken out by because she and with full, you know, asking. And she flat out told her doctor, I'm not staying in the house anymore.
You can't stay isolated forever. It's not healthy. And
she says it's worse. She says it's worse for her. She goes, it's been driving her crazy. So she's doing the jailbreak. And
yeah,
she doesn't
I feel
do
like
it.
You got to do what you got to do. I mean, I didn't see my grandparents. My grandpa's 81. My grandma's 76. I went 3 months without seeing them.
Oh, my gosh.
And they live right up the road. And
It's crazy. Well, my mom's like, she's on jailbreak now. She says, I am going anywhere I want to go. And she flat out said, if COVID somehow invades my body, then COVID invades my body.
Now, would you go visit her? Like, you get tested 2 weeks prior and then...
Okay, now they're telling you have to quarantine for 2 weeks to see her.
Yeah.
That if I want to come to Pennsylvania. So if I fly in, I have to sign a form and all this kind of stuff that I'm going to, and I can't do that. I can't be away from work for 2 weeks.
Yeah.
Would you fly into Atlantic City or fly into Wilmington or fly into Baltimore and rent a car and drive up and violate the law? The state regulations.
I know the rules are tough.
Would you, if you were me? Would you?
I don't know.
My mom's flat out said, she goes, look, she's going out.
How many times do you think you're gonna see your mom again?
That's why I say
I'm not gonna let
the governor tell me I'm not allowed to go see my mother.
Yeah.
I'm just not doing it. And it's weird because I've got people, I talked to some of my listeners in Atlanta about, and they're like, oh my gosh, you're willing to like blatantly disregard the law? And I'm like, yeah, I am. And I said, because first of all, it's not a law. It's not. So I'm going
to see your mom. It's 100% worth it.
And especially when she's like, I would love to see you. And I would not be able to handle it if something happened to her.
Yeah.
And no, I didn't get to see her.
You got to do it. I think
I got to do it. I got to violate whatever recommendations that are given. I got to do it. I just can't. There's no way. Because if something happens to my mom and I don't see her before she goes. And she says, it's okay. She goes, if it did happen that I don't get to see her. But I'm thinking of doing that here.
Yeah, I would do it. You know, get tested prior just to make sure that you're healthy and safe. And then
my bosses are good with that. We've had access to testing and everything like that. So it's been good to be able to do that. So. But I'm ready to violate the orders.
I'm with you 1,000%. I would do the same thing if I was in your shoes.
I gotta see her, and I gotta figure out how to do it. Great job today, Kevin. You've done a fantastic job.
Thank you.
Today.
I appreciate it.
You've done a really, really good job.
Let's just hope Cuomo or Wolf ain't listening right now.
Yeah. Well, if he is listening, he'll have the authorities waiting for me somewhere on 95. But he doesn't know where I'm going to come in from, so he would have no idea to be able to track me down. Hopefully everybody has another great week, another healthy week, another inspired week, the meeting of the can people, not the can't people, the can people. Every single Sunday convenes right here on the John Kincaid Show on CBS Sports Radio. Thanks to Kevin Dexter. Good luck, Kevin. And again, Kevin Wall, fantastic job today for the vacationing Anthony Pierano. Have a blessed week. Enjoy yourselves. Enjoy sports. We'll debate it more. Next week, we'll have basketball and hockey, too. It's unbelievable. John Kincaid Show. See you next Sunday.
Nerds.
Today's episode is sponsored by NerdWallet's Smart Money Podcast. Ever Google a money question and end up 12 tabs deep with 12 different answers? This podcast is your shortcut back to clarity. NerdWallet's Smart Money Podcast breaks down financial decisions with a team of trusted journalists. They explain the why behind decisions like investing, home buying, and choosing credit cards with clear, research-backed insights. No jargon, no misinformation. Make your next financial move with confidence. Follow NerdWallet's Smart Money Podcast on your favorite podcast app.
At Lowe's, we're about to kick off something epic for fans who want more messy. And trust us, you'll want to be a rewards member when it happens. Join for free and get access to messy exclusives, surprises, and more. Head to Lowe's.com/moremessy. Now's the time to get in because members get more at Lowe's. Loyalty programs subject to terms and conditions. Visit Lowe's.com/terms for details. Subject to change.
Nobody brags about their car's resale value at a dinner party. Nobody posts about it on social media. It's not the reason you fall in love with a vehicle. But 5 years in, it's one of the clearest signs that you made the right decision. And Toyota makes that choice easy. For 6 consecutive years, Toyota has been named the best resale value brand by Kelley Blue Book. And many Toyota models, like the Camry, Tacoma, and 4Runner, are best in their class according to KBB. Because Toyota doesn't just build vehicles for the moment, they build for the miles ahead, which is something every Toyota owner can appreciate. So stop by your local Toyota dealer and enjoy the affordability of a great deal today, plus the value that lasts long after your purchase. Shop Toyota.com to find out more. Vehicles projected resale value and best resale value awards are specific to the 2026 model year. For more information, visit Kelley Blue Book's KBB.com. Toyota, let's go places.
When it comes to lighting, Graybar goes beyond parts and products. We help contractors turn plans into smart designs, manage kitting and deliverables, and navigate local codes so you can stay on time and on budget. Smart, scalable, job site ready. That's not just lighting. That's like kicking your project into Graybar mode. Yep, Graybar does that.
Hi, I'm Kirk Cameron. Is health insurance eating up your budget for 2026? If you're looking for ways to better steward your finances, consider this. Christian Healthcare Ministries is a health insurance alternative at half the cost. As a ministry, CHM allows you to share the burden of medical bills with other believers. Join CHM today by visiting chministries.org/solution. That's chministries.org/solution.